Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on bbsradio.com. I'm your wonderful host, PK, and I'll be with you for the next hour. For those of you who might be new to this show, my whole thing is that I give the Third Stream View, the third party view, if you will, the libertarian view, which is, as you should probably know, is usually missing from the usual talking heads on TV and talk radio. So you get the usual tired old left-right paradigm, which we really just have the one government party with two heads, or a saying I learned last year or 2 years ago was the one bird of prey with two wings. So here on this show, we give the third party view, or the third stream view, and we're rather relentless in all that. Now tonight I'm going to have a couple of guests on. I will be talking about fully informed juries, FIJA, the Fully Informed Jury Association, and the absolute necessity that this concept is for our country. It should be taught in schools. Every citizen, every potential juror should know about fully informed juries, which in a nutshell, the juries can also judge the merits of the law, and they can vote to acquit based on the merit, based on their own personal feeling and view on this. If they think the law is wrong, they can vote against it by acquitting. Now, of course, this would not apply to murder, armed robbery, raped, kidnapping, not those sort of things. But especially, it would in, say, drug possession, drug sales, gambling, prostitution, minor annoying laws like blue laws or just ridiculous laws that shouldn't even exist, that just cost us more money, that put more people in jail, which costs us more money and adds to the whole mess that we're in right now. But fully informed juries would have a dramatic effect on law and changing law, or just refusing to convict for certain laws. And I'm sure that government at all levels will oppose this, I would think pretty much so. There's a few politicians and attorney generals or, you know, here and there who might go for it. But, it does encroach on their state power. And let me say that in any courtroom, the jury should be the most powerful entity in that courtroom, because they should have more power than the judge. The juries are made up of a citizenry. They represent us, and the judge is, you know, part of the state, part of the whole apparatus. So we'll be talking about that later. Now, I noticed that doing a little research, I found out that currently in Central Florida, there's some controversy going on about this, and it's a good thing, and I hope it blows wide open. And I came across a fella that will be calling in tonight, and his name is Mark Schmitter, and he's a 64-year-old youngster. I contacted him. I got some bio on this fella. Comes from a nice background, daddy physician, mother housekeeper, homemaker, couple brothers and sisters, nice little Catholic school background. As myself, I survived 8 years of Catholic school, and at this point I would also like to say that Catholics make the best atheists, but that's another story. Mark is he's a fellow musician, played keyboards for years. He's in the roofing contracting business and foam insulation contracting. I'm sure he loves all the government red tape and regulation and all the taxes that goes along with running a small business. He's actually had to meet a payroll and run a small business. Maybe he could teach those basics to our president. And Mark has been he was raised a Republican. He turned independent. And then when Ron Paul came around, Mark went to the Republican Party, as I did, as a matter of fact. I voted Republican, or got in the Republican primary just so I could vote for Dr. Paul. So Mark is basically a fellow libertarian. He's also an ACLU member, which is a good thing, because the ACLU is not consistent about property rights and gun ownership. They're good on other civil liberties, but they seem to miss the boat on some of these. So that's good that he's a member, because fellows like that can, you know, help guide them in the right direction, because we know that property rights and civil liberties are equal to each other. Now, Mark has gotten himself in a little bit of trouble lately, although he backed down because of the power of the state. But he was warned through this local judge ruling or law or whatever decree His Highness gave out that Mark and his ilk are not allowed within certain parameters of the courthouse. I believe it's in Orange County, Florida, which is in Orlando. They are not allowed to hand out their pamphlets within a certain zone of the courthouse area, where he used to hand these out to all jurors. You know, the judge had the nerve to call it jury tampering. Well, this is just basic objective information that was handed out to all jurors, not about jury tampering, not about paying somebody for their, you know, their jury vote or anything like that. So, anyway, excuse me, I'm getting a call that I shouldn't be getting. Hello. Yeah, but you didn't call the right number. Okay. Hang on. It's 530-413-4520. Okay. Just try it again. Thanks. Yes, to my associate producer Seth. They seem to be calling, and they weren't able to get through. Maybe it's something on my part. I haven't checked. I was looking at his bio. Anyway, Seth, if you're there, I'm expecting a call. They've called my other phone, so see if you can facilitate that, please. Anyway, where was I? I was back to the handing out the FIJA pamphlets for the fully informed jury situation. So Mark has been told through a decree by this judge and anybody else who's doing this that they are not allowed to hand out these pamphlets to all prospective jurors. They're supposed to stay away. I forget what the parameters are, but they have to stay away from the outlines that the judge and the court gave. Well, now this, I'm sure, will be challenged, and it will lead to more probably legal challenges. And more importantly, I hope it blows this whole thing open nationwide, so that the masses, in many cases, the American sheeple, as I like to refer to them, will find out that they have these rights as jurors to also judge the law, which is a very important concept. And it was used, as I understand it, in the past, it was used back during slavery days, where juries refused to convict runaway slaves, and also during prohibition days, where juries refused to convict people for possession of alcohol or sale of alcohol. And so that started to cut away at the power of the state. And of course, it didn't like that. And then fortunately, prohibition was overturned. I think it was 1933, early in 1933. So fully informed juries had a lot to do with getting this overturned. I'm going to send a quick message here to my producer. Hang on. Okay, I see your message. Yes, yeah, so I'm ready if they're here, Seth. Mark, are you out there? He's not here yet. Okay. Let's try this. So it's a different number. Okay. All right. Let me get this lined up. Sorry for these technical difficulties, folks. I know you're dying to hear more. Bear with me, folks. We're going to get this happening. Hey, try this number. 530. Four one three, 4515. Try that one. Bye. All right. Hopefully, we'll get this our guest on here soon. Had a little technical difficulty with the numbers. So anyway, back to the fully informed jury concept. It's been around for a while, and I've known about it for about over 20 years now, and it's something that is very important, and it could where Congress or state legislatures won't do away with frivolous, lame-ass laws, the juries could just automatically start just nullifying, say, nope, we're not going to convict. Sorry, you ought to change the law. Because if you don't, then, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Okay. How do we get there, Seth? Are you there, Seth? Hello, Seth. Can you hear me? Okay. How do I get him to get on here? Wasn't a problem last time. Hang in there, guys. Can you bring him on? I'm here.
Hello.
Here we go. Is this James?
Hello.
James?
This is James, yeah.
Hey, welcome to Third Stream View.
Hi.
Is Mark there too?
Is Mark here? He's dialing in right now, I think.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've been talking mostly about Mark, right? But I spoke with you earlier today, James, and you're sort of the point man for the Florida Fully Informed Jury Association. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the state coordinator for the Fully Informed Jury Association here in Florida.
Great, great, great. I know that you guys have run into a little trouble with the old judge downtown, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Judge Perry, basically, he is trying to shut down the freedom of speech here outside the courthouse in Orlando, and it's only a matter of time unless enough people, get on board with this before this is not only in the courthouse, but also it'll be on the streets of Orlando and then the streets of Orange County and then the streets of Florida and then throughout every single street throughout the United States.
You mean as far as raising people's consciousness or people, protesting?
To shut people up, yeah. Anybody's got a message that they want to, take to the streets and tell people about, guess what? There'll be an order made just like this one, and the police will show up, in their costumes with their signs and their guns and their tasers and their nightsticks, and they'll say, move, otherwise I'm going to arrest you.
Uh-huh.
And, this is how it starts. This is how it all starts. So we have to stop this right now. This is a judge that's out of control. He has, he's broken his oath of office. This is a human rights violation. That's a violation of the First Amendment, not only of the U.S. Constitution, but the Florida Constitution, Article 1, Section 4 of the Florida Constitution. So, you know, obviously we've hit a nerve here. It looks like that the machinery that makes all this money in the courthouse here in Orlando is grinding to a halt. So, you know, they want rid of us because they can't seat juries, or the message that's in our information is waking people up. And just to give you an insight into Fiji, what our mission is, our mission is to inform potential jurors of their traditional and legal authority to refuse to enforce corrupt laws. Inform potential jurors that they cannot be required to check their conscience at the courthouse door. Inform potential jurors that they cannot be punished for their verdict. And inform everyone that jury veto or jury nullification is a peaceful right for protecting human rights against government tyranny. You see, if the law is just, juries will naturally rule on the facts of the case. The criminal nature of intentional physical harm to person or property and theft of property by force or fraud is nearly universally agreed upon.
True.
The common law has little to fear from nullification. The problem arises only when legislators criminalize failure to obey their statutes, many of which is every tax statute, by the way, every gun statute, by the way, every drug statute, every registration and licensing statute. So, you know, they are themselves criminal. These statutes could not be enforced if juries were told of their age-old right and duty to judge the alleged law as well as the alleged lawbreaker.
Well, it would seem to me that fully informed juries would be part of the common law.
Yeah, but the judge does not, in this instance, the judge does not want the people to know.
Right.
Because it is, like I say, it's starting to break down some of the corruption that's happening in the courthouse. You see, back in the past, judges, and I'm talking about over 100 years ago here, judges used to say to the jury, members of the jury, the law in the state of Florida, for example, is this. However, if you think that's a bad law or if it's being misapplied, you may find the defendant not guilty. However, if you think that the law is just and the defendant has broken the law, you should deliver a guilty verdict. Judges don't say that anymore. What they say is something on the lines of... The law in the state of Florida is this, and if you think that the defendant has broken the law, you must deliver a guilty verdict. The judge
is actually directing
the jury.
Hey, Mark, you out there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, PK?
Good. Welcome to Third Stream View. I'm glad both of you fellows could share some time with us tonight because very important topic, and I commend you both for being activists in it and spreading the truth.
Right. Thank you.
In fact, let me tell you my brief story. Several years ago, I was called for jury duty, so I went, but I never get the cases I want that, you know, murder cases are pretty much, you know, that's cut and dry. That is not like the other things you spoke about. So, you know, those are the ones I really didn't want. So, but anyway, I get this murder case, young black guys, about 21. And what I didn't like about the whole situation is they were really trying to rush this whole jury selection through. It was near Thanksgiving holiday. They were like really trying to rush it through. And one juror, potential juror, stood up and said, wait a minute, this is, you know, this is a guy's life on trial here. This is, you know. And so that sort of shook everybody up. So when I was asked what my view about, you know, you have a problem with gun ownership. And I said, I support the complete Bill of Rights. Well, right away, they struck me off the list. They don't want anybody who knows anything. So three times I was not chosen because apparently I knew too much, or I'm not the model citizen sheeple that they want.
Right, right. Right, that's exactly right. What they do is, I mean, if you want to get on the jury, go walk in there with the Wall Street Journal and look in with the Poplar Mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me tell you this, guys, that, you see, I'm a radical for a free market and all this sort of thing, all this capitalistic free enterprise, no corporate welfare mentality that I have. But if I was called to jury duty, and I advocate this for everybody, because I even have free speech on my show so far, that judge hasn't tried to mess with me yet. Anyway.
It will if you don't shut this down.
My mind is already made up. If I serve jury duty and the person on trial is there for a nonviolent, you know, drug possession or sale, prostitution, gambling, tax evasion, my mind is already made up, not guilty. My mind is already made up. Now, other issues.
If there's no victim, there's no crime, right? If there's no in your party, there's no crime.
Murder, rape, kidnapping, as you know, completely different story. And we would want the sheeple, the masses, to know that, hey, folks, you know, oranges and apples here. But so my mind is already made up. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, even though they might want to pin somebody for murder, it might not be murder. It might be something else. I mean, you know, people have been put away for murder when really it was self-defense. You know, some guy came home and found some... and found some guy in his house, you know, robbing him. So he pulls a gun to say, okay, you know, get on the floor while I call the police. The guy doesn't listen to what he says, picks something up like a poker or something, you know, a chair, goes to hit the guy with the gun. So the guy puts, you know, a couple of slugs in him, and the guy manages to escape and, you know, tells a story. You know, now he's out of the house. And tells a story to a friend before he dies, and before you know it, the guy, you know, whose house the guy was in, you know, he says, well, no, my friend told me he met him in a bar, and he took him back, and, you know, to his house, took some free drinks, they had an argument, and he shot him, you know? So, dead men don't tell lies, but, you know, when somebody else, a third party, comes into the equation, you've got to judge not only the facts of the case, but the law itself.
Well, yeah, so, I understand. Yeah, I understand that.
If the law's been misapplied, you have to nullify it, too.
Right. Well, what I mean is, if somebody's in there for, you know, rape, arson, kidnapping, that is not something that I'm a person of conscience about. But I am about drug possession or, you know, these other things. I know murder trials have different, you know, characteristics or issues. But what I meant was, if it's a blatant murder and the guy's guilty, that is not something we're going to nullify. We want people to know that, you know, there's some boundaries generally where we're talking about on these things.
I mean, you still want justice.
Yes. Yes, definitely. We're not going to let violent felons, you know, run free, especially if they have a track record of this sort of behavior and this and that. But that's the least of our problems. We're concerned about this whole freedom of speech, freedom of assembly issue. I would suggest that since you can't hand out these objective pamphlets, what about organizing some marches with some signs and placards without handing out anything, just raising the issue, you know, some protest marches.
Well, we have a campaign in order. That's why I'm in Orlando right now. And all this week, I'm asking your listeners, and, you know, if you know people, please send out an email. But we are going to hit the streets. We have some flyers, and if you go to fija.org, right on the front page there, so if you go to www.fija.org, you'll actually see the headline there, Florida Judge Denies Free Speech to Fija. And it explains everything about the case, and there's a video on there where I did an interview with News Channel 9 in Orlando, and you know, basically explains. But this thing now is all over the internet. You
right.
can you can see this if you Google Florida judge kills freedom of speech, Florida judge denies free speech, Florida judge denies First Amendment right. You'll see this. It's all over the internet now. People are picking up on this. This is spreading like wildfire. But we need to take it to the streets. We need to take it to the people of Orlando and Orange County. They're the people right now that's going to help make a difference on this. We need you to print off the flyer that we have, which is it's on the website. You can print that flyer off. It's titled "We of Fiji Seek to Obey the Law." If you can't print that off, please meet me downtown. I'm going to give out my my number. It's 727-386-9192. That's 727-386-9192. Give me a call. I will be downtown tomorrow. And tomorrow evening, I'm going to a meeting in Orlando for the People United for Medical Marijuana. Hopefully, I'm going to attend that with Mark. But also in the afternoon tomorrow, I'm actually meeting with hopefully the ACLU and a First Amendment rights attorney, Lawrence Walker, who was also on the video with me.
Great.
The News Channel 9. If you go to YouTube and type in FIJA, F as in Frank, L as in Larry, so it's like Fiji, Florida, like the short for Florida, FL. So FIJAFL on YouTube, that will bring you to the YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see the actual video there, and it tells you all about this. Also, if you go to www.florida.fija.org, you'll see my activism there. So we're taking this to the streets. We're keeping away from the courthouse for right now.
Sure.
But what we encourage everybody to do is call the courthouse and get Judge Perry's mailing address. I could actually give that out. I have it right here. And what I want you to do is I want you to mail the flyer I was just talking about, the We Are Fiji, Seek to Obey the Law, to Belvin Perry. That's B-E-L-V-I-N, Perry. That's P-E-R-R-Y. Junior, Chief Judge, Suite 2110, Orange County Courthouse, 425 North Orange Avenue, Orlando, Florida, 32801. Now, also, I want you to mail this to the Attorney General. So mail it to the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, that's B-O-N-D-I, Office of Attorney General, State of Florida, the Capitol, P as in Peter, L as in Lima, -01, Tallahassee, Florida, 32399. And I'd like you also to send a copy to Rick Scott, too. Office of Governor Rick Scott, State of Florida, the Capitol, 400 South Monroe Street, Tallahassee, Florida, 32399. And all your representatives, too. Everybody must know about this. Send this to TV and media outlets, email people. You know, get this stuff out in the media. We have to let it be known that, this judge is not only breaking the supreme law of the land and human rights violations, but he's also breaking his oath of office. This judge swore a oath to uphold and protect, serve and protect the Constitution of the United States.
Sounds like you've done your homework, and you really thank you for that information. Mark, when did you first learn about FIJA?
I learned it way back in September, just out of a whim. And I think James Cox came into our Campaign for Liberty meeting, and I go to that once a month. And he just came and talked about it, and then I looked at the brochure, and it just kind of made sense. And I don't know whatever happened, but there I was last September down there at the courthouse handing out the FIJA brochures.
Well, that's a great to know. I appreciate that. And I'm surprised you only learned about it last year, because you speak like you've known about it for ages. So you really took to it like a fish to water.
Well, you know, it's the only political thing I've ever done, and I've done at least a few within the last couple of years, is, a number more than a few, that where I could actually talk to the person maybe the next day to find out what they thought about what I handed them. And every one of them, and I mean every one of them, gave me a compliment. I've never, ever had that happen.
Yeah, that's good. That's
great. You even had some guy give you $100, right?
Yeah, and a month ago, it was 4 weeks ago today, I was just out there by myself on a Monday morning handing out, I'll usually hand out about 350 to 400 flyers to whoever walks by. And generally, there's a number of jurors coming in at that same time in the morning. So I'm handing them to everybody so the jurors get them. And about 8:30, an hour after I started handing them out, some gentleman walked up to me and just started quizzing me. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you paid by anybody? No. Who pays for the flyers? Well, I just went ahead and paid for them. They're 4 cents each. And he said, well, you know, after about 15 minutes, he says, I really like what you're doing. I'm impressed. Thank you very much. He reaches in his pocket, and he hands me a $100 bill. That never happens, maybe once in a lifetime.
Wow. Well, that's a great story from a very appreciative just citizen.
Yeah. I don't even know his name. He just wanted to say, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, yeah, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing too, Mark. And also, Mark, by the way, you're also a veteran, aren't you?
Well, I'm a veteran, not of a foreign war. I was just in the Army during Vietnam, but I never had to leave the soil or anything. I had it pretty easy. I was lucky.
Okay, but I mean, right? But you still served your country. You were in the military.
Yes. Unfortunately, I was.
And the reason, the reason I
have concerns about the military, I basically think it's the unwilling led by the incompetent to do an unnecessary job, but I was there anyhow.
Great one. Now, I'm patronizing you about the military because, okay, so you served your country and you swore an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution.
True.
Okay, so, and again, as I always say to military people, thank you for your service and your bravery. But in this issue of this FIJA thing, it must really piss you off as a vet who, you know, your purpose was to defend our rights, which include free speech and freedom of assembly. This must really strike home to you because you didn't serve to be treated like this by your own government at home, did you?
Well, that's all true what you're saying there. But I think one of the other motivating factors, I mean, that's enough of a motivation right there, is I belong to my local VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, down right. The street from me.
Sure.
And if I'm sitting next to these friends, like I'd sit next to anybody in the bar and talk about it, and I was thinking about, you know, the one guy took a couple of rounds in his back, and he's on full disability, and another guy had Agent Orange, and he's all messed up for life because in Vietnam. But
right.
I thought, like, these guys did a lot more than I, so it made me feel really good to take an hour and a half out of my week, or maybe 2 hours, to go down there and do something else fighting for the country, even though I'm not carrying a gun.
Right, well, I'm certainly not judging the fact that you weren't sent overseas. I mean, I'm glad you weren't. But, I mean, either way, you served your country, and my point is, to veterans especially, is for you to be handing out these objective, honest, documents to people, these flyers, and then to be shut down. To me, it insults the fact that you served. I see an insulting aspect of this because you served to protect our rights, and then they take them away from you, your free speech and a freedom of assembly, peaceful assembly. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's an irony and a hypocrisy that from government that I especially dislike.
Well, I'm agreeing with you there because, you know, one way I swore to defend the Constitution, but I don't understand how this Judge Perry decided to forget that he probably took the same oath a long time and he's not defending the Constitution, that basically he's destroying it, you know, free speech.
He's helping chipping away at it, but maybe this is going to come back and bite him on the butt really well because we get this ball moving and get the people to wake up more about this and say, hey, you know, I do have the power to change things. For example, I would have I can think of a couple other things. One of my heroes was Dr. Kevorkian. I mean, if I'd have been on his jury, he'd never been in jail, or neither would have Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong. Never would have convicted these people.
Well, you know, the thing is the judge, and he has an obligation to, but he is not, because I believe he's instructed by the hierarchy that they're really just trying to keep people in jail. Because the ridiculous part here is that the United States is only 4% of the world population. But then if you take the world population but all the jails together, we've got 25 of the people percent of all the people in jails all over the world are in this country. Even though we're 4% of the population, we've got 25% of the world jail people are in the United States. It's absolutely absurd.
It's 25% of the United States that's in jail.
Well, it's not 25% of the United States. It's 25% of the people in the world.
It's like the highest ratio in the world, just like our military spending is the highest ratio.
In federal
prison, 40% of all the people in federal prison, 40% is a high ratio, are nonviolent drug users, and they shouldn't even be in jail. I mean, there's something else. They don't have to be in jail. We spend $68 billion a year keeping people in jail, and we're basically broke, and we can't keep putting nonviolent people in jail. We don't have the money. We're broke.
Well, even if we did, they shouldn't be there. But we can thank St. Reagan for that, who turned 100 yesterday. Mr. Reagan, St. Reagan, who said government is not the solution, it's the problem. And then he goes and presides over the largest massive drug war ever. Talk about central planning, socialist a central planning drug war with massive prison construction, massive amounts of nonviolent so-called drug offenders in prison. And this is his idea of smaller government, regardless of the fact that Reagan tripled the budget. I believe he tripled the deficit while he was in office. And one of the first things he did was pressure his Republican Congress to raise the debt ceiling, which they reluctantly did. And this is something that's being debated today. Do they want to do this again, these irresponsible jerks?
Well, you know, I just can't understand, like, the Tea Party or the Republicans, you know, they almost, like, idolize him. You know, they think he's something like a god or something. And you're right, he increased the deficit like crazy, and the whole time he was in the government, he was still doing favors for General Electric because that's who he used to work for to keep the military-industrial complex going.
Well, he was a huge spender, and his handlers, you know, him being an actor, he was good at memorizing his lines and saying his lines. So I think a lot of that
They're all good actors, and they're all good liars too. You know, they say one thing, and then when they get the power, when they get the ring out of Lord of the Rings, they then start to misuse and abuse it. Look at Obama. He promised that he was going to bring the troops home. They're still overseas. you know, he lied to the people. But I just want to go back to the incarceration rate. I've just looked online here, and it says that the United States has the highest documented incarceration rate in the world. The U.S. incarceration rate as of June 30th, 2009, was 740 inmates per 100,000 U.S. residents,
yeah.
or 0.75%. The USA also has the highest total documented prison and jail population in the world.
Hey, we're number one. We're the U.S., man. We're number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be yep. humorous, guys.
But going back to Fiji, right. there's something I wanted to fit in there. I didn't get a chance.
Sure, please.
About my last time being there, either a week ago or 2 weeks ago, what I found out is the prosecuting attorney, the public defender came down and he was talking to me. There's a little bit more to this story, but he said what the judge is doing to weed out the people that pay attention to Fiji, he asks them, he puts a scenario like, if it's illegal to eat a ham sandwich, it's illegal, and the defendant that you're judging eats a ham sandwich, you're going to find him innocent or guilty. Well, the people that say, well, we'll find him guilty because it's against the law, well, they allow them to be on the jury. And somebody like me that would say, oh, no, I think it's a stupid law, I'm not going to find somebody guilty for eating a ham sandwich. Well, then the judge wouldn't even put me on the jury.
Well, yeah, interesting. Of course, I wouldn't have that problem because I don't eat ham. It makes me self-conscious. I don't eat ham.
You
didn't wait for the punchline.
Listen,
you didn't wait for the punchline. Let me try this again.
Okay.
That wouldn't apply to me because I don't eat ham. It makes me self-conscious. You get it? I'm a ham?
Yeah.
Ham. Oh, you're going to ham it up. Oh,
hold
wow, that one
laughter,
went by
will you?
Me.
Hold the okay. laughter, will you? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing is, of course, now the judge is a lawyer. Try to get a lawyer to sue a lawyer. You know, his underlings are lawyers. His higher-ups are lawyers.
Yeah, right. It's all corruption. It's all corrupt.
It's legalized theft.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's just a way to steal money from people. You know, that's what traffic tickets are. If there's no victim, if there's no injured party, there's no crime. It's taxation through citation. That's what it is, taxation through citation.
Well, I like that. I never heard that phrase. I'm going to write that down. Taxation through citation.
Yeah, taxation through citation.
Thank you for that.
If there is no injured party, if there is no victim, people, there can't be a crime. If nobody got harmed, if no property was damaged, if, you know, nothing was stolen, if nobody so much as laid a finger on somebody, if nobody was murdered, nobody was raped, nobody was kidnapped, you know, it's not a crime. Something has to get damaged. Somebody has to suffer a loss. Somebody has to get hurt in order for a crime to have been committed. Wake up, people. Vote with your conscience. And if no harm is happening to others, just vote your conscience. Judge the facts of the case and the law itself. And if the law is a bad law or if it's been misapplied, vote with your conscience and vote no victim, no crime. Go to find out more, go to www.florida.fija.org and click on FIJA, that's FIJA information. All the brochures are there. You can download these are PDFs, and I ask you all to pass them out. What I do, if I go to a grocery store, I always carry FIJA brochures with me in my car, and I put them in my back pocket, and I do my grocery shopping, and when I'm in line, normally there's somebody in front of me in line, and then somebody will come behind me, so I'll ask the person in front of me, excuse me, ma'am or sir, do you mind if I give you some free information? Sure. If they say no, then that's fine. And I turn around and I ask the person behind me, excuse me, ma'am or sir, do you mind if I give you some free information? Sure. And then when I get to the checkout and I talk to the checkout person, And just before I'm about to check out, pay my bill, I say, excuse me, do you mind if I give you some free information? Sure, I'm given that. You've just hit three people up. And if you tell them, please share this information with everybody you know, because it is only a matter of time before someone you know, someone you love, a friend or family member, is accused of a crime. Wouldn't you want somebody on that jury to stand up for their rights and nullify that bad law that they're being prosecuted about? See, one person on a jury, this is where the people have done it all wrong. They think that the judge is the most powerful person in the courthouse. He's not. He's just a referee. That's his job. The referee to make sure that both sides, you know,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. But you
kinda lost
James?
James. Lost James there.
Well, I'm still here.
I liked his logic about, you know, no crime, no, nobody harmed, no, you know, nothing ever happened to the person. There's not a crime, you know. I like his logic on that.
Yeah, no victim, no
crime. But I just hope that this becomes, we keep the ball rolling on this. I mean, the Tea Party should be hip to this. It should be part of what they stand for. It's, as you know, it's in my secession solution. It's at right at the top of when I included it immediately with the civil liberties section. It should be. I wish that kids were taught this in school and it was part of a civics class. Fully informed juries, the absolute necessity of this.
Well, you know, a moment ago James was talking about how he hands out the flyers and stuff, and that's
great idea.
There's definitely nothing wrong with that, but when you think of all the efforts that people do to help our country, our beloved country, what I did for 4 months was just go down there and take 2 hours of my time, and I'm astounded that ever since I started this, if I'm going to use a Gandhi quote here, still there?
Yes.
There?
I'm here.
Okay. A Gandhi quote is at first they ignore you, and then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and once they fight you, you win. So basically what has happened since a week ago is we're winning now because this was on the now it's on the front burner, and it's throughout the country. I mean, after we were on the front page of the Orlando Sentinel last Saturday, this thing is really, you know, it's gone nuclear. It's real big now. So it just shows that somebody could just take 2 hours out of their week and just be relentless, and you can basically start to change the whole country. It's amazing.
Well, I think it's great, Mark, and I'm sure that if this really carries on and you get any notoriety about this, there's probably room for a bust of you at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, sure. That'd be interesting.
Well, because, I mean, I would get rid of Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt immediately, and we could maybe re-chisel your good looks on there.
Yeah, well, that would ruin the mountain for sure, but why not?
Well, you made a mountain of trouble for the judge and the system, so that's good because, you know, most governments, or I should say all governments, they all partake in organized theft. And, of course, I believe in the jury system, but not the way it's tweaked against us. You know, it's rigged against us. You know, government at all levels is just – it's like the inmates are running the asylum.
Yep, that's right. And you know, it's if somebody ever decides to do this, it just makes you feel really good in this whole country or how things are so bad. If you just get to do one thing good, just one thing, even though nobody pays you back and this would ever happen, it just kind of gets you through the week a little bit better knowing that you did something somewhere, somehow, to help the country.
And you certainly are, and I appreciate it. Speaking on behalf of the people who appreciate it, thank you for doing it and keep up the good work. And I know you won't get your butt arrested because you backed off, but you're going to stay on top of it. I think you have some other ideas about handing it out nearby, but with just outside of the parameters that His Highness says are off limits.
Well, yeah, I think the thing to do now that, because none of this makes sense, because Judge Perry should only be able to control what is past the front door of the courthouse, just the general running of the court system. He shouldn't be able in control, I think it's unconstitutional to be proven shortly, is he shouldn't be able to go out the front door into public land, which is basically owned by the city of Orlando, and dictate who can hand out what, because, you know, we all know this is a violation of our rights, our constitutional rights about free speech. But, you know, since I don't really want to get incarcerated, like I said on the Orlando Sentinel, when that gentleman asked me, am I going to go back Monday morning, which would be this morning, to hand out brochures, I said, hell no, mama didn't raise no fool.
Yeah.
So now what's going to happen is James and I, we're going to figure out how to go to the lunch spots tomorrow or the next day around the Orange County Courthouse, because all the jurors and all the court personnel go out for lunch. So we'll be off property and maybe we can affect change there.
Well, that'd be great. And so how far roughly is it from the parameters you've been restricted from some of these dining areas?
Oh, well, they're only like, you know, half a block away, a block away. So we'll definitely be out of the reach there. But, you know, the way these judges are thinking that they may send out the jackals to go get us. So basically you almost have to work as a team here because we just don't really trust what these guys may do.
Yeah, I certainly don't either. You know, and,
yeah.
And so it's good to keep being a little pinpricks here and there, whatever you can do to, you know, get around it, or just, you know, a little brinkmanship here to get as close as you can or without, you know, violating his big decree, because he's acting like a dictator, not an administrator.
Well, that's exactly right. And it makes absolutely no sense, because now we can't really get on the property to hand it out, because in his administrative order dated a week ago, it says that you cannot hand out anything that has to do with the jury, even though we're not really talking about a particularly case that has to do with the jury.
Of course
he's
not.
Just saying that it's jury tampering, which it is not, and also you'll hold us in contempt of court. Now, when somebody holds you in contempt of court, I mean, that's a wide open thing. They can keep you a long time on that one without going through due process.
It's their cowardly excuse.
That's exactly right. It's something like a fog, you know. You can't even swing at it. You know, these guys, you know, they know what to say to keep you in limbo here so you can't do anything. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but maybe we can fight it.
We got to fight the power, and that's why I'm interested in I aspire to bigger things. I mean, I would like – I'm learning to find my stride with my show and having many, many of these topics. I've been in the movement for about 30 years now, the libertarian movement. So if you've checked out my bio, you know, I'm pretty well up on a lot of different things. I'm not – I don't know as much about this as you and James do, but I know enough where I can speak – competently about it and recommend people to check it out. And, you know, I mean, if I had pamphlets, I could, you know, do my thing on it too. So, and I have handed them out, in other states and other areas, but we were never threatened by the local, judge. So, you know, that's the problem. Here come the judge. Well, there go the judge needs to be the concept here. So, you know, keep going down that path. I would like to develop my show even further. You know, I want my own cable show with my own band where I would host like a Bill Maher format. That's been something I would really like to get to that point. And I thought about even throwing my own Tea Party rally somewhere.
Right, right.
Now, if I collaborate with other people, say like you, if we throw our own Tea Party rally, then they can't restrict what we have to say because we threw the rally, we financed it.
Oh yeah.
You get where I'm coming from?
That's basically a private deal, and you can do anything you want. That wouldn't be any problem at all.
That's right, because, you know, the Tea Party, the way I see it, the Tea Party is still very too pro-war. They have that neoconservative invasion by the Sarah Palins and the Michelle Bachmans and the Newt Gingriches, and they need a leader. I think the Tea Party needs a leader. They don't really have a leader. Of course, I volunteer myself to be the flamboyant, you know, band leader of the Tea Party, because they need to do something, because they're a little unfocused. They don't have to me, I don't see a real focus and a real principled way that they're proceeding. It's sort of, you know, a hodgepodge, if you will, a bit. And
many people think the Tea Party has been hijacked by the neocon conservative right.
It has.
The Republican Party. I mean, that's just a theory, but parts of it seemed like could be valid.
Well, I saw who was in. I mean, last fall, I saw who was speaking at their rallies, and they're really, you know, praising Sarah Palin and the Newt Gingriches and the Michelle Bachmans. You know, now those three, you know, even the neocons, they're pretty good about. They tend to be pretty good about business and economics and taxes and that.
Yeah.
But foreign policy, social tolerance, you know, they're not real good. So I'm optimistic about the Tea Party, but they've been too co-opted by the neocons, and I think they really need a leader who will stand up to them, because the Ron Paul wing of the Republican Party, that is the Jeffersonian constitutional wing of the Republican Party, is where the Republican Party should be.
Right. And the Republican Party is just all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden. They've evolved to becoming just like the Democratic Party. They're still liberal and spending money like drunken sailors. It's absolutely absurd.
That's right.
But pulling this back to Fiji, you know, when you talk about voting, like, am I going to vote Republican or Democrat? I'm not sure if it makes a whole lot of difference nowadays, but
it doesn't.
At least something like Fiji, you have a direct effect on somebody that's going to make a decision about somebody's life within an hour after you handed them a brochure.
Well, Melvin Berry sure knows that.
Oh, yeah.
And his back is against the wall now. And I love to needle these bastards, because if you're not, you know, violating his arbitrary instant laws he made, if you're on the fringe of all that and on right on the outskirts, he can't get to you.
Right.
It's like guerrilla warfare. We're striking, moving back. Striking, moving back. We're going to do what we can. If we need to use lawsuits, if we need to have marches, we want to raise people's consciousness. If we need to, you know, come up with other ideas, it's he's making it worse. He's bringing it, something that he doesn't want. He's made it worse by making the first move against Fiji, the local Fiji, you know, participants chapter, and it's going to mushroom, I believe, and I hope it does. And more power to you guys.
Well, actually, one way he almost did us a favor. It's because he took these issues and he put them on the front burner.
Right.
You know, I mean, this thing is going to blow up in his face, but it's going to take our country, and I think it's going to make it better, because we've got to get rid of these bad laws.
That is correct. And Fiji is one of the best ways to do it, because if the legislatures or Congress won't change things, we the people can do it. Because of our power as a jury, because what we have now is really nothing more than government by the government, of the government, for the government.
Right.
And these bastards, you know, your taxes are paying for this judge's salary and the courthouse, and then they tell you can't be, you know, outside of it. It's preposterous.
Yeah, I know that, because the land outside the courthouse, the walkway, I mean, where I've been handing out the flyers, is in about a 200-foot walkway that goes from the parking garage that heads toward the three front doors of the Orange County Courthouse. Now, that land right there isn't owned by the courts. It's actually owned by the city of Orlando. So he's overstepped his bounds right there. But it's just really remarkable how much these the people that I hand these flyers to, if I get to talk to them after they read them, they're just astounded on things they never knew.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I sure appreciate that, and I'd like to thank you and James for joining me tonight at Third Stream View. I really appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing. I hope you'll continue the struggle. And I know you're basically selfless about this whole thing. You'll accept a tip here and there. God bless you. But you're definitely going down the right path. I've known about this movement for 20 years. And for 20 years, I've consistently advocated it. And since I'm a drummer, good drummers are consistent. I'd like to think I'm consistent. And that's why I stay on point about the things that I advocate here on Third Stream View. And I enjoy bringing folks like you and James on because we're going down the same path. We're on the same page.
Right. Right.
So I've got to wind up now, Mark and James. Thank you both again for coming on to Third Stream View. Really appreciate you having on here and enlightening us more with the goodness and the absolute necessity of fully informed juries.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to wind down now and keep up the struggle. Fight the power, my brother.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot for having us on.
You're welcome. PK says goodbye to you fellas. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to wind down here. I'd like to thank you all again for checking in to Third Stream View here on every Monday evening, 9 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Central, 12 a.m. Eastern, where we discuss some of the issues of the day. I think it's outrageous that recently a border guard was fired on our southwest border for suggesting that we should end drug prohibition and we'll get rid of a lot of this crime and violence down there on the border. So I thought that was interesting, and I'm glad he did it, and I hope he gets the ball rolling in his case. That should become big news also. So anyway, folks, again, I'm signing out now. This is PK saying thank you for listening in to Third Stream View. We'll see you here again next Monday, same time, same place. PK out.